We are going to be looking at those verses from Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Well, this morning, as we finish this season of Christmas, we're all looking forward to 2025. I want to meditate for a few moments on these verses from Psalm 24. And in case you didn't know, that was from Handel's Messiah. A little teaser, if you've never been, you've got to wait for another year, but it will be on next year, and it's well worth it. Absolutely magnificent. Having been held at a subdued note by a single tenor, these verses, with the verses, the choir now springs back into life with triumphant joy, and the high and low sections, they call and respond to each other. And so this morning we're going to look at the psalm itself and then at Handel's reading of these verses and finally what they mean for us today. So Psalm 24 is divided into three sections. Verses 1 and 2 introduce the Lord as the God of creation. The earth and all that is in it belong to the Lord, and that includes all who live in it, even you and me. Why? Well, because God made the world. The picture in these verses is drawn from the context of ancient Canaanite mythology, the surrounding culture. The seas and waters were personified in Canaanite mythology as gods of chaos. And Baal, the Canaanite god, brought order to the world by subduing them in battle. But this mythology is subverted in this psalm. The seas and waters are depersonified. Now they are simply elements in Yahweh's creation over which he rules and governs and orders. No need for battle or anything like that. He's simply in command. So having introduced God as the creator, the ruler and owner of creation in verses 1 and 2, verses 3 to 6 ask the question, how may we approach God? Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The pictures here of the mountain city of Jerusalem with God's temple, that symbolic place of his presence on earth at its center. So who can go up and stand in that holy place? The psalm asks, who can approach God? Well, the answer comes in the shape of the twin spiritual and moral obligations that actually run through the whole of the Bible. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. You see, there's always a vertical and a horizontal dimension to our lives. How are we responding to God and to our neighbors, those around us? And the two are always inextricably linked. Notice how there is an internal and an external dimension to how we move towards others. It's not just our actions, he who has a clean hands. It's also our intentions, our heart, that is important. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. And notice, too, how the alternatives to the true and living God are seen. They are false and untrue. The one who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. If they're false and untrue, well, why run after them? The one who approaches God and neighbor rightly, who seek God's face, well, God will bless and vindicate them. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Well, we had a focus on God as the Creator in verses 1 and 2. Focus on our response to Him in verses 3 to 6. And now in verses 7 to 10, the perspective shifts back to God. In verses 3 to 6, the picture was of the worshipper going up to the temple. And now in verses 7 to 10, the picture of is of God himself coming to his temple and the gates being thrown open to welcome him in. God is depicted as a warrior king returning to his palace from battle triumphant. The God who we approach is not only the creator of all things, he is also the one who fights for and defends his people. The commentators think this section of the psalm may have been used when King David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem for the first time, and the gatekeepers of the city asked, "Who is this King of glory?" And those processing answered, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Well, it's a magnificent image, and the language lifts our souls. But I've always been a bit puzzled by this last section of the psalm and what it might mean for us. And I think Handel's Messiah opens for us a helpful line of interpretation. Part 2 of Handel's Messiah covers Jesus' passion, his death, resurrection and ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the preaching of the gospel and the reign of Christ. And Handel, or at least Charles Jennens, who wrote the libretto, the words for the Messiah, chose this piece of scripture to convey the ascension of Christ. And this imagines the gates, not as the gates of the earthly temple being thrown open, but the gates of the true temple, heaven, the place where God dwells. And Handel brilliantly has the choir sing these words, and he splits them in two for a call and response, kind of like we did in the little form with our reading of Psalm 24. We can imagine the angels accompanying Christ on his ascension, calling on those at the gates of heaven, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And Handel's music captures that mood of triumphant joy as the heavenly host welcome the return of their king. In choosing these verses, Handel draws our attention to the astonishing reality that the crucified Messiah is none other than God himself come in the flesh. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is God, the Creator, to whom belongs the earth and heaven and everything in them. But wonderfully, incredibly, mercifully, the Creator has become one of us to bless us, as the psalm says, to vindicate us, as the psalm says, to save us. That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? The incarnation, God himself coming in the man, Jesus of Nazareth. And with these verses, Handel gives us the true picture of reality. Christ really has conquered sin and death. He really is now seated at the Father's right hand, reigning on high. He really will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He really is the King of glory. And so as we begin to look to 2025, make our plans for the coming year, a question for you and for me is, will you open the gate of your heart that the King of Glory may come in? And then these words may sound a note of triumph and joy for you. Lift up your hearts and your heads, you gates, that the King of Glory may come in. He's the King of Glory. Will you let him rule your life? He's made your body to be his temple, your heart to be his throne. Like the wise men, will you offer him the gifts of your hands, your tongue, your time, your finances, your relationships, your intellect? He's the King of Glory. Look to him to be your strength and refuge in times of turmoil. He's the King of Glory. Look to him to be your shield and your defender, the one who fights for you in times of trouble. He's the King of Glory. Look to him to be your rock and your redeemer in times of sorrow, and really every day. He's the King of Glory. Look to him to be your hope and your very great reward as the shadows lengthen and the body slows. He's the King of Glory. Let him be the one who vindicates you. Look to him for blessing. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this magnificent psalm and the wonderful creative gifts of your people through the ages. We thank you for David penning these words. We thank you for Handel setting them to music. And Lord, we pray this day that by the power of your Spirit, we may open our hearts, the gates of our being, to receive Christ as the King of Glory. As we turn to 2025, may he rule in our hearts. May we look to him for blessing, for vindication. May he be the one who fights our battles. May he be the one we serve and trust, who is the King of Glory, you Father, and with your Son, our Saviour Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.